I see this house is up for sale. This one was remodeled recently.
Joyce Moore's neighborhood is changing, house by house. A realtor, mother, and former teacher, she's lived in Meridian Kessler for 38 years. The neighborhood is divided into 8 zones, and Moore lives in Zone 2, an area bounded to the west by Central Avenue, to the east by the Monon Trail, to the south by 38th Street, and by 42nd Street to the north. For more than a decade, newcomers have been moving to Zone 2. According to census data, the zone was 85% Black and 11% white in 2000. But in 2012, Blacks made up just 63% of the population and whites 27%. Moore says changes in the neighborhood, like developers rehabbing homes and the city putting in new sidewalks, are good things.
But why does it have to wait until that critical mass is met before we see anything happen in our neighborhoods?
When Joyce moved in 1976, she loved that she and her family were part of a tight-knit community. But she doesn't feel that way anymore. To understand how Joyce lost that sense of community, we have to go back about 40 years. When her youngest son started kindergarten, he went to school right down the street.
We knew most of the people, and you had opportunity to interact with them because the school was the anchor of the neighborhood. So you would see your neighbors at the school, the kids would have friends walking back and forth to school.
In 1973, a federal judge had ordered the busing of Black students from the inner city to suburban township schools in order to desegregate IPS. Eventually, Joyce's kids, along with most other Black children in the neighborhood, were bused 40 minutes away to Franklin Township. Moore says after busing began, businesses closed and the neighborhood's social fabric fell apart. Residents still held annual alley cleanups, but civic life in Zone 2 didn't go much beyond that until the newbies started moving in. Like Joyce, her neighbor Tony Artis was one of the few African-American members of the Neighborhood Association, until a few years ago when they both left. He said the two of them tried to organize other Black residents to improve the neighborhood, but they encountered a lot of apathy, and he understands why.
One thing you're confronting is the people are so used to not doing anything that you've got to find a way to motivate them to believe that they can have an impact. They're so beaten down and used to not receiving anything, used to not having their actions acknowledged, that they don't even want to try anymore.
Zone 2 is filled with an insanely active group of people.
Erin Kelly is the Zone 2 rep to the Meridian Kessler Board. Where Joyce connected with her neighbors around schools back in the 70s, Erin says the newer residents got together through social media. They use it as their main method of organizing brunches, plant swaps, block parties, you name it. But Erin says to engage as many people as possible, they spread the word the old-fashioned way too, sticking flyers in mailboxes.
I can honestly tell you, I've been on the front porch of every house in Zone 2.
Kelly is white. She says she sees a few Black families at neighborhood events. She'd love to see more. And she knows achieving a diverse neighborhood social life is not easy for reasons that go way back.
Most of Indiana's history has been very white, very Protestant, very middle class. And of course, you know, in the 1920s, Indiana was a state that was run by the Klan. For some older people in the community, that's not just their history, those are their family stories.
Joyce says because of this history of exclusion, new residents need to go the extra mile if they want to include their African American neighbors. For example,
if you're going to have a block party and you're in a zone and you kind of divide it down college, have it on the east side of college sometimes.
But according to Erin, it's really difficult to organize a block party on someone else's block.
To close down a street, you've got to petition your block and get enough signatures, and everybody has to okay to close the street down. I can't go to a street I don't live on and tell them, hey, it's going to be a great idea. We're going to close your street down for like 6 hours. You need neighbors on that street who can rally their neighbors and make them excited about it.
She says organizers are considering some new ways to engage more people, maybe assigning block captains who would knock on doors and introduce themselves to everyone on their block. She's open to suggestion. Over on the east side of College Avenue, Joyce and Tony are also talking about trying something new next summer. A celebration on June 19th, or Juneteenth, a holiday that commemorates the emancipation of the slaves.
What I was thinking, and we were talking about, is having a Juneteenth celebration where we have a block party and where everybody comes together and just relish in freedom. And everybody can talk about what freedom means to them. And maybe that's one way we can get a dialogue started.
Tony says that even if a dialogue on race brings up painful feelings, that's part of the city's evolution.
So the things that we're going through now are basically growing pains. And so the problem is a lot of people aren't willing to go through those growing pains. They want everything to stay the same. But change brings pain sometimes.
Conflict is not always bad, Joyce says. Sometimes it's a catalyst. For 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Andrea Maraskin.